Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
We are entering into tabernacles. It's not afar off. And there are many things when you begin to enter into tabernacles. There is new light. There is new revelation. And I can guarantee you it's not contrary to the Word, but it is contrary to what you believe is the Word. But we have been taught ignorance, things that just are not so. I hear the voices in these days of my people. And I hear, who are you and what are you? Are you really Catholic? Are you Pentecostal? I'm so hungry, Lord, to know you and your truth. But what are you? Are you Seventh Day? Are you Sonship? Are you Reconciliationist? Are you Third Day? And I would say to you, I am none of those things, but I am the truth of all those things. Before we came here, I told my wife, I don't think I told anybody else, but I was telling my wife, that I was, as I was before the Lord, as to what I might share during this time, the Lord began to reveal some things that had to take place before that we could fully enter into tabernacles. And there was two or three things that He was speaking to me about. But the main thing the Lord spoke to me about before we could enter into tabernacles was idols. And that in almost every case, in Old Testament times, when the people would have a heart that would turn back to the Lord, they would have a king or a prophet who would come in among them and begin to tear down and destroy their idols. And I told my wife, and then after I told her, I did mention after I came here to a couple other people, the Lord had revealed some things to me about the idolatry among us that I said, I hope I don't have to give this message. But before we can ever enter into fullness, every concept that we have that is not according to godliness must be destroyed. Tabernacles is the presence of God absolutely filling every fiber, every cell, every avenue of my thought and my brain is tabernacles. And what did we hear when we first, the very first day we came to tabernacles? We heard about idols. And the second day, we heard about idols. Another thing that must be restored and is being restored is oneness. What was the very first message that Brother Leo gave? Blessed are they who dwell together in oneness. And God is going to teach us what oneness really is. I believe that God has revealed some things to me. But you know what? Oneness is not you lining up with what God has shown me. Oneness is not, I know I don't have to tell you this, but I do. Oneness is not me believing everything like you. And you see, the enemy has taken even Scripture to divide the body of Christ. We all know this. For instance, I'll give you a good one. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And the carnal mind and the carnal understanding of man will take a verse like that and say, brother, I can't minister with you. We don't agree. But I want to tell you, folks, if we agree 100% with everything that's written in the King James Bible, if we agree that every word and every syllable and every sentence, if we believe that and we agree to that, that is not oneness. It's unity. It's agreement, but it is not oneness. Oneness only comes out of life, and life only comes out of death. I told Elaine I dug myself a hole yesterday because I said people have the concept, still today, that Jesus came to save their souls, thinking that there's something in that carnal nature that God is redeemable. And I said, God did not come to save that thing. He came to kill it. We haven't learned this yet, but there is nothing, folks, absolutely nothing of the carnal realm that's redeemable. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He kills that he may make alive. Death always comes before resurrection. Everything in nature teaches us that. Life only comes out of death. In these days, folks, your knowledge is not going to carry you into the kingdom of God. It's not going to work. You're having it all together. And your gifts that God has given you, that you can astound the world with, is not getting you into the kingdom. We heard a word last night, oh God, that we really heard it. That the old order is full of flesh. That Pentecost is a mixture of leaven in the bread. The very best that Pentecost has to offer us, folks, is a mixture. It is not pure. And God has us in the oven today, purifying the leaven. And God is appearing. There are times when God appears in this flesh. Very far, very few between, but there are times. We have a foretaste of the fullness of tabernacles. Anybody who ministers, Brother Leo, Brother Dave, they probably can tell you that there are times when they are ministering that they can literally sense a transition take place where somewhere they recede back within themselves and the Spirit arises. You see, our spirit has been ascending since the very day it was quickened. Ascension begins at regeneration. The flesh, from the very day you were born physically, your flesh has been pulling you down towards the earth, trying to keep you in this carnal realm, allowing you to be as religious, allowing you to memorize as much scripture, allowing you to do the works of the ministry, your carnal mind allowing you to do everything in the world except learn to hear His voice and do what He says. Entering into tabernacles, folks, is a matter of hearing His voice and then doing what He says. And the reason the people in the Old Testament would not hear the voice of the Lord for fear, and they had to have Moses go to God, and they wanted to hear it through Moses. Human nature never changes. We're afraid to hear God today because of our flesh, our carnality. We're so fearful, and this may be a deeply hidden thing that we're not even aware of, but we're so fearful of what God says because we know when we hear Him say, we have a responsibility to do. And many don't hear His voice because of fear of what He might say. Yet I've learned over the years that God, oh, if you understand this, God never speaks to you, but what in His speaking is the life, energizing, quickening power to perform that which He speaks. Most of you here don't know us, so maybe I'll just share an example. My wife and I have done this a couple of times. But a couple of years ago, we really sensed the Lord. We were in California at the time, and we sensed the Lord wanted us in the Northwest. We had no money. We had, at that time, very low-paying jobs. And I'll never forget when we agreed that the Lord, we really sensed the Lord wanted us in the Northwest. We came up to the Seattle area with about $100 in our checking account. And we looked for an apartment, and we had set a date, it was like 3 or 4 weeks. We had set a date that we would move, and we had $100. And we saw this apartment that, well, we couldn't afford anything at that time, but it was the most economical thing we could find. But even at that, by the time they figured up everything it would take us to move into that, we needed $1,700. We took half of the money that we had and made a deposit on that apartment. Realizing that as we did that, we didn't even have the money to rent a truck to move our furniture. But yet 3 weeks later, when we left, we had more than enough money to rent the truck, to move, and to live for several weeks. And we've done this a couple of times. But you know what, folks? If you're not willing, and I don't want this to sound egotistical, so listen to me. God has worked on me for years to make me willing. God has given me such experiences and has taken us through the fires of tribulation. And I used to pray over and over and over. I'd say, God, please make me willing. Because I'm not. When I was young, I wanted God so desperately, but my flesh did not. And so I used to pray this over and over, God, make me willing. And God puts you through the things to make you realize He is God. People that don't understand, this is another point I wanted to make, that because we are coming into the dawning of a new age, and I don't mean the new age movement, I mean the dawning of the new age of the church coming out of Pentecost into tabernacles. Do you remember what a drastic change that was for the Lutheran and the Catholic and the Baptist, when Pentecost really took off and people all over began to speak in tongues, do you remember what a force of opposition rose up against that from God's people? And we know this is true. Any of you who know church history know that every new thing that God does, the church is the one who stands up in opposition. And I'm telling you, folks, there is such a revelation dawning upon the age of the church of the Father Heart of God, such as never been known by the masses of His people. And that's why I can stand here today, because I learned the heart of my Father. I would not be alive today if I did not know the heart of my Father. And God has given me that commission. Not just me, but that's part of the ministry that God is doing today, is restoring the hearts of the children back to the Father. And you'll hear Brother Dave say this a lot. We need to have the heart. But you know what, folks? We heard here yesterday morning, most of us do not even know what a father is. I was one of those who have never, to this day, my father died when I was about 46. And even at that point, I have never heard my father say, "I love you." Now, in his later years, and in my later years as I grew up, I come to realize he did in his own way, but I never heard him say it. I can honestly say to you, I cannot ever remember my father putting his arms around me. We have no concept, most of us, about a father. And we have gained... See, one of the things God said to me is, my people have known me as God, at least what their concept of God is, but they have not learned to know me as Father. And because of 2,000 years of religious tradition, their concepts of their Father has been distorted and warped. They have no concept. And listen, until you understand that God is your Father, God is for you. And brother, you blessed me so deeply the other night. I have heard such a few handful of men ever make this statement. If God has a destiny for you, you will fulfill it. But you know what? Most of us would say amen, but most of us would put conditions on that. We have not yet... I mean, how can we enter into tabernacles until we first learn how to walk outside the law? If you don't know and you don't understand and you don't learn how to walk in grace outside of the law, you can't know God either. God is my Father. One of the first things that Jesus did when he came to earth, and please hear what I say by the Spirit, one of the first things he did when he came to earth is try to change some of those old concepts they had of God. They brought the prostitute to him, the harlot, and under the law, he had to condemn her. And we all know the story. We have not yet learned as his children, oh, we've heard it, but we haven't heard it. There is no condemnation. There isn't any. As I've shared with so many, you were born into this flesh realm, into this carnal realm, with no choice about your carnality. You inherited a life from Adam that you had no control over. Some of us are born very good, still an Adam nature. Some of us are born very bad. Some of us are evil, but it's all the same nature. And the price at Calvary, God shed his own blood so that you would not have to pay the price of Adam's transgression. Nor would you even have to pay the price of your transgression. Because you act out of that Adam nature, you do that which is by your nature, God does not condemn you. Because more than you ever realize, God understands human nature. And he does not, hear this by the Spirit, he does not condemn your human nature, but he will kill it. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many faults you still have. I don't care where you find yourself in the Christian walk. God is your Father. Every one of you have a divine destiny. And you know, we all walk in different areas and in different ministries. But basically, God has designed for you the exact same thing that he's designed for me. God has one will, universal will for all mankind. And that is that they would be full of his character and his nature. That's really his divine will. walk in his nature. They have his Father's name written in their foreheads. And until you understand God as Father, you see, we knew God as Savior. We knew Jesus at Passover. And then we begin to understand something of the Spirit in Pentecost. But now to really fully enter in, folks, you have to understand and begin to walk in and experience the Father heart of God. And in that Father's heart, there is no condemnation for any man that walks on the face of the earth because of the price. He paid such a valuable, valuable price that he might reconcile you to God. Regardless of your condition, regardless of your rebellion, regardless of where you find your life today, Father is saying, come on, you can't be bad enough to where I would ever turn my back on you. Father says, come home. I used to ask people years ago, when does forgiveness stop, brother? How many cigarettes do I have to smoke before God would say, that's enough? How many times would I have to fall into adultery to where God would wash his hands of me? Jesus said, I know what your law says. I know it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I understand that. But you better listen to what I have to say. Because I came to reveal my Father's heart to you. And he says, do good to those who despitefully use you. How many people today are despitefully using God? Are cursing God? Are running away from God? Would our Father do any less or be any less than what he would teach us to do? Would he? If he is saying, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, could he do any less? I don't think so. We've had 2,000 years of what I call performance-based Christianity. You could interpret that to say 2,000 years of law with very little grace. If you live right, if you do right, if you believe right, God will bless you. And you know, the law does say that, doesn't it? That is the law, but that's not the heart of your Father. Yes, sister.
This is something I want to read because it's exactly what you're saying. And when Harold asked for a scripture, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Romans 10:4. But I'd like to read verse 3 first. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And this is the fourth verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Oh, how we need to understand some of those divine words. Christ is the end of the law. Folks, performance, God could not give a rip. Remember what our sister said last night? Get a grip. How good do you have to be? How much law could you keep to make you worthy to enter into his chambers? Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that there will be, and he said it, hallelujah, that there will be prostitutes enter into the kingdom of God before you hypocrites? How could a prostitute possibly enter into the kingdom of God before one who knows God, one who listen, you know, he said those things to the Jews. He said they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you will be cast into outer darkness. That's the other chapter in this book I just wrote. It's number 4, and it's on judgment, understanding judgment. I'm so thankful that these days God is beginning to reveal some of these things. Now, they have always been here, and other men in the past brought some of these things out. But, you know, today, God's people as a whole are beginning to understand spiritual things. It's wonderful. There will be people come from the east and the west, and in a Jew's mind, that was unthinkable. The heathen entering into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we who have spoken tongues, have healed the sick and raised the dead? Are you telling me that there may be a harlot enter into the kingdom of God? And he didn't say ex-harlot either. Why is that? Because when God comes and brings judgment, he takes into account where a man was born. Did you ever hear that scripture? I wonder how many harlots have a heart. I wonder how many homosexuals are so grieved. I wonder. Could that be possible? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Nobody knows what that dear lady has suffered. Nobody knows the circumstances surrounding why she is where she is. But yet you would look at her and judge her because she's a harlot. But you look at the homosexual and you say, that's a choice of lifestyle. You who are so righteous, you don't understand your human nature. Maybe you were born on the good side of the tree. It's a lot easier to play church when you're good. A lot easier. It is said in Micah, in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted. I've been saying for about 6-7 years now that these are the days when the highest revelation and knowledge ever known to man is coming to the church, and the revelation of the Father's heart towards His creation. And I understand why men reject this, because they don't understand. There's something in us, folks, that wants to think that because we made the right choices, because we did certain things, that we have gained favor with God. And oh, that's so wrong. That's so wrong. The very fact, I'm telling you, please hear this. If you can stand and say, I am where I am today because I've been obedient to the Lord, I feel sorry for you. Because you think there was something inherently good within yourself that caused you to make all those right choices. And because you have made the right choices and you believe that, all you have become, my friend, is a modern day Pharisee. You don't understand your flesh. It is said in the Old Testament that there's coming a day when the veils cast over all nations will be removed. I'm telling you, that veil is your flesh. And there will come a day, if it has not yet, and I hope it's not on Judgment Day for you, but there will come a day when that veil will be pulled back. God is removing the veil cast over all nations so that the glory, the manifestation of His glory, can come to the earth in humanity. And I can guarantee you, my friend, as long as you think you deserve this, as long as you think God owes it to you, as long as there's something in you, anywhere, any place, that thinks you deserve, that you've earned a position, you don't understand. How can I say this? Because I was probably one of the most ornery Christians you'd ever want to meet. One of the most disobedient. The only thing, folks, I've ever had since a child is a strong desire for God. But I never had the character nor the willpower to do that which I desired to do. Does that sound like Romans chapter 7? We don't understand the Father heart of God, and we're in the experience of Romans chapter 7. It's a terrible thing. But if you understand the heart of your Father God, and God revealed this to me many, many, many years ago, right almost as a newborn Christian, He revealed to me the heart of the Father. And He said, Gary, because I'm your Father, I'm going to perfect you. Now you have choices to make, and those choices that you make are going to affect your life, whether for good, whether for bad. But if you'll understand that I'm your Father, you have nothing to worry about as far as your future is concerned. Because, you see, as your Father, I brought you forth. John chapter 4 says, God is what? Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. Hear this. God is Spirit. And in Zechariah chapter 12 and about verse 1, he says, the Lord, what? Created the heavens, formed the foundation of the earth, and formed the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit of man within him. I'm telling you, folks, you came out of the very substance of God. And because you were lowered into the flesh realm, born into the carnal realm, you don't know who you are, and you don't know where you came from. Most of you think you know where you're going, but even that is a false concept. Most think that they're going to die and go to heaven, not knowing the very simplicity of the word that says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And you want to die to go there? When all the time Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within you. Within you is the very substance of God. And that's why I said yesterday, He came first to kill you and then to give you life. And as that Spirit is quickened within you, the very essence of His life begins to ascend. And if we're performance-based Christians, we will never go anywhere. We must become seed-conscious, God-conscious, if you will. The only thing that a seed requires to grow, you know what we've done for years, 2,000 years, as we've taken our Bibles and our Sunday school lessons, and we've taken all of these carnal things of men, and we've tried to teach that seed how to grow. I used to be a teacher of the Word, but God just recently said to me a short time ago, you are not a teacher of the Word. You are a confirmer of my Word. What I'm speaking to you this morning, although you may have never heard anything like this, it should be a confirming word. There should be something in your spirit that resonates and stirs. If your Christianity is based on performance, you will die and never experience the kingdom. God won't let you experience His kingdom by your performance. That's why, my friend, a harlot will enter into the kingdom before performance. She doesn't have anything to offer. She does not have any goodness. And most of us think we do. The veil that was cast over all nations was simply God brought forth His substance within you and then covered it with flesh. God has been hidden in His creation for how many years? Now, because we've had earthly fathers that haven't really been fathers, we don't understand a father. A father would never forsake his children. Never. Yet we can't believe that we can be so bad and still go to our father and receive help. And I tell people, with that concept, God can't help you. You can't be bad enough that you can't go to God. And you have to hear this in the Spirit. There came a point in my experience when God said, stop confessing your sin to me. Stop it. Because if you really had an understanding and a revelation of the cross, and you really understood some basic scriptures, you would understand that you are forgiven. I'm so thankful for the light of God. I shared here at LoveLink a few weeks ago that we run from the light of God because we don't understand it. But to be transparent and to walk in the light, when I'm in my prayer time and when I'm in those periods when God comes near and the light shines, I can see all the imperfections. I can see all the areas in my life that are not yet transformed. I can see all those things in my will that are still there, that are resisting God. Yet I sense no condemnation. Because, folks, if you really walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship and the blood cleanses. I can't make this vessel godly. I wish I could. I can't. But I know one who can. And I know one who said, and I've learned this very, very hardly, very hard lessons, but I learned to believe that He who began a good work in me will complete it. And it's not limited by time. That work is not limited by space. That work is not limited by my physical life. That work will be completed. Death cannot stop God from doing in me that which He designed for me to do. Oh, I wish you could believe that. And I think you can. I know as sure as I know that I know that I know that I know, there will come a day when I will fully reveal and manifest the glory and the loveliness of my Father. And it won't be because I've been a good boy. It's been because I understand my Father's heart. And more than I want that, He wants that. And as He said to me, Gary, because I am your Father, I'm responsible for you. I created you out of my very substance. And if I did not perfect that in you, which I designed for you, I'd be irresponsible. I'm not responsible for my condition. I really am not. I didn't ask to be born with a carnal nature that was full of lust and envy and strife. What's my fault? Can you hear that, folks? Please hear that. God understands. If I develop a cancer on my body, Leo, will you condemn me for that? Will you? Then why condemn me because I display a sinful nature? Now that I'm a Christian, I'm not supposed to be disobedient. I know that. You know, even John said that. He said, little children, I would that you sin not. That's the ideal. I would that you sin not. But please listen to this. If you do, you have an advocate. Please hear you have an advocate.
At this time, please turn the tape over for the conclusion of the message.
I used to cry, and I would cry, and I would cry, and I would cry. And I'd still go out and do the same things. God never has allowed me. I wanted to be performance-based. I wanted to, but I couldn't. Because He said, I'm raising you up as an example that you will know that I did the work. This is why I can envision in Revelation when it says they throw their crowns at his feet. How could you do that if you earned the crown? If it was your crown, how could you say, he deserves? How could we say, Jesus save me, if we're responsible? How could we say, Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, transform me, if we did it? You see, preachers will tell you you can't do it, but then when you can't do it, they will condemn you because you can't do it. That's a general term. That's not all preachers. But that was my experience with preachers. What do you want, Gary? Do you want God or do you want this thing? Well, me being an honest person, I'd say, well, I want this thing. Well, then, Gary, we can't help you. God doesn't make you do the things you do. And the devil certainly doesn't make you do it. You make the wrong choices. So we can't help you. Many of you have heard me tell the story that as a young Christian, I used to get my Bible out at night, and I'll tell you what, I just enjoyed God. And I'd sit there and drink my coffee and smoke my cigarettes, and I'd just enjoy God, and I'd sense his presence. And one day somebody told me, you have a false peace. There is no way that you can blow smoke in the face of Jesus and be saved and go to heaven. Almost destroyed me. One of the most prominent preachers of our day told me that. Performance-based. And it doesn't matter if it was a cigarette. Supposing, well, I don't have to name anything. We all know what the flesh is like. Some of us have horrible problems in the flesh. Whether it's sex or whether it's lust or whether it's homosexuality, the flesh is the flesh. Now, God did not die to redeem or to save that flesh, but he died to give you life. What is it said about Jesus? The last man, Adam, was what? Made a life-giving spirit. He died to give you life. But yet not life in that old carnal Adamic realm, but life in spirit. So the key for you is not to base your relationship to your Father on your performance, but base it on getting to know him. Because every time, and you know this by experience, every time that you enter into the presence of God, and every time that you, I sometimes use the word touch, you know how these things are hard to express, but every time you touch God in reality, there's something of his divine essence that's transmitted into you. There's a quickening. There's a little growth process of that seed. And in the quickening, in the transmitting of his spirit into you, with that is the element of death. Death is really a matter of spirit. Death to the flesh, my friends, is in the Holy Spirit. If ye through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will truly live. So the key is not performance, but is how in the world do I get to this spirit? Because in the spirit of the living God, and not the spirit in the airwaves, but the spirit within you, the substance of God within you, that is where your life is. And as you learn how to contact that life in you begins to push out the old. Nothing to do with performance. Folks, you can't help but change. If you have been a Christian for many years and you haven't changed, you're dead. But trying so hard to be good and seek God. If you would spend your time in the quiet seeking the heart of God instead of all the other things that we do religiously, you would find him. There isn't a man, woman, boy, or girl on the face of the earth who truly wants to know God, if they will spend some time every day in the quiet listening for his voice, I guarantee you, he will speak to you. And if you're not willing, if you're afraid to hear his voice for fear of what he will say to you, he even understands that. And if you will say to him, Lord, I do want to hear your voice, and I am fearful about what I might hear, but Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, give me the grace. Lord, turn my heart. You see, even that's in his hands. David said many years ago, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. You think your will is so strong? Your heart is in the hand of the Lord. And say, Lord, turn my heart. Father, turn my heart away from everything unto you. Oh God, destroy my performance. I pray that God would destroy the performance of every Christian that is here today, that they might be driven to know you. Father, I pray that you rip away the flesh. Oh God, talk about giving up a ministry, my friends. I pray that God would unveil to you that which you are really made of, and you won't even be able to hold your head up. No man can see God and live. No man can see God and live. But we're beginning to see God because He's worked the death process. And we're beginning to say, oh, thank God. We've heard these words. I used to quote the words of the Bible over and over and over and over. But today I can say, at least in a minute degree, no longer I who live, but it's God. Oh, yes. Gary still resurrects at times. The flesh still takes control at times. But more so than not now, it's Christ who lives within me. Would you really like to experience that? You cannot do it if you're performance-based. You cannot do it if you think you can earn it. You cannot do it if you think keeping the law will bring it to you. You can only do it if you realize the wretchedness of your condition. If you realize the stench of your righteousness. If you realize, as it was said many years ago, all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. And learn about His righteousness. Because you see, His righteousness says, honey, you may be a prostitute. You may be selling your body. But I have a robe of righteousness for you. And at the cross, the blood covers. And I don't see that. I don't see harlots and prostitutes and homosexuals. And I don't see Christians and Buddhists and Hindus. I don't see that. But what I do see is the substance of my life that is laying dormant in most of creation. That's what I see. That's the pearl of great price. Learn to stand in my righteousness, and you won't need any. Understand my forgiveness. Really understand it. You won't be condemned either when your flesh acts up. I love what Harold Eberle says. Harold says, you may be 90% spirit and 10% flesh. As long as you have 10% flesh, at times that 10% flesh will take control. Don't be condemned over that, folks. But keep hungering. Keep touching. Keep going to the source. Because the Spirit of the living God is the all-inclusive whatever you need at any time, at any moment. It has been said you walk in the Spirit one step at a time. When a baby falls down, fathers don't condemn the babies. They just help them up, brush them off, keep them gone. When your flesh acts up, and you fall down, you think God comes in? God, you think God doesn't understand your very makeup? Folks, please hear this again in the Spirit. I have to say this. Do you really believe that someone who comes into this life with the very substance of God within them, do you believe that God Himself would form the substance of His life within humanity? And then they be lowered into the flesh, carnal realm, not knowing who they are, not knowing where they came from, some of them living 70 years on this earth, totally lost, never find their way back to the heart of their Father? Do you really believe that He could throw them in a fire and burn them eternally? Do you? God help us. We need to understand. We don't. Believe me, there is such a revelation of the heart of God coming to His creation. How do you think they're going to flow? I mean, nations are going to come to the rising. How are they going to do that if you still have these old religious performance-based ideas? Why aren't people coming to church today? We don't have anything to give them. I don't blame anybody for not going to church today. My wife and I, right now, we've lived in Seattle area for 6 or 7 years, and we tried to find a place where God would allow us to settle down. Now, I can guarantee you, folks, if I was in Springfield, I would be with Ada, but I'm not here. God doesn't have me here. I'm not saying there are not places where you can go and be nourished and fed, but they're so few and so far between. But that's going to change too, because the more that God reveals his heart to his creation, the more they're going to flock, and we're going to have. You talk about party time. Just imagine, if you will, you all know your condition more than I, but supposing you could really believe the words that I'm sharing with you this morning. If you could really believe this, you would be so full of joy, knowing that it doesn't matter how I am. God is not interested in making my human nature better. God himself paid the price for my redemption so that he would not condemn my human nature. So we must learn unlimited forgiveness for ourselves. And I say that because if you don't, you cannot unlimitedly forgive others. You must understand that there's nothing you can do in your Christian life that is unforgivable. Nothing. Every time now that my flesh acts up, I immediately forgive myself. Every time. And it still acts up. I still holler at my wife, Leo. I do. I do that. Not very much, but there's times. But when something like that happens, I immediately forgive myself. And I know that's not Gary. And my wife knows that's not me. She knows. The heart of the Father. I'm going to close with that. And I just pray, Father, continue to reveal to us your heart. Father, that the hearts of the children would be turned towards their father. Not one who is critical, not one who is looking for their performance, but one who is looking to love them, to cherish them. Father, we just release the impartation of your life. Father, we speak to that seed and say, come forth, come forth. O seed of God, in all of your beauty, in all of your transcendency, come forth. O seed of God, come forth within your people. Arise and stand upon your feet, O Zion, for the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.